by my quant, and so on. It's gonna, it's getting big, but anyway. I can illustrate to something there, how the structure could be. I mean, we need structure and organization for the energy slides, the structure. This one is a structure. So we suggest this, and I think I'm talking for others, a few of us. All this, it's kind of been growing, this concept, for 20 years or something among us. So just trying here to illustrate it, make it clear, to also show the benefits and the idea. It's gone Sweden back in, well, this was 2015, so 10 years ago, 14 or something, when the talk started about selling New Radakund. Well, an alarm kind of went off among some, quite a few of us, devotees in Sweden. So we, well, I would say, and I figured I saved that. I think they want to stay there. But at the same time, we're in connection with this. The idea of ISKCON Sweden came up. A national ISKCON, and many of us were surprised that it doesn't exist, that ISKCON in Sweden consists only of local non-profits, förening. And if there is a national organization called ISKCON Sweden, where I guess all the members of the different local ISKCONs are automatically members, and which is of course there on the GBC. Such as the other ISKCON, local ones. But it could be here, we can show the image there. It's like, because Sunday actually stopped that. We had it all, it's registered, it exists, it's there. The address is on Almvik in Dineshwar, but we're still taking care of a little bit of that. And we even printed forms, blankets that you could, the devotees started filling in. When we have 3,000 members, then we get state support and devotees can also then decide that their church tax goes to ISKCON instead of the Christian church. Great, we thought, and we started really doing it. Malapur put a lot of work in it, and someone stopped it, or I heard it was mainly two people, but we don't need to get into that. One objection then was that no, each local temple should be independent should be no one above them. And even the SNC, I heard them, was supposed to be more taking a Brahminical role. In other words, whatever I do in my temple here, no one has anything to say about. Well, Prabhupada made the GBC. Keep just an eye on, you know, where the different departments or the different mats or temples can meet now and then and just discuss and just make sure and report a bit how everything is going, make sure everything works nicely. But that seemed then maybe to be slackened a bit because I don't think it. But that's another question. SNC has so much insight into, for instance, the accounting accounts of ISKCON Stockholm, whatever. But point with ISKCON Sweden is then not to be above the others as some kind of authoritarian board up there, but more at the hub. And we can show that picture down there. It's just flat Swedish, you know. And for us Swedes, this is completely the way you do things. It's a healthy, natural, normal way of doing it. So it's really just a unifying, you could say, umbrella, but not in the sense of overshadowing, but as a hub, unifying, coordinating. And then good things with this is, apart from the state support we can get, which is considerable, and which I would say especially ISKCON Stockholm needs now, and others too. And someone also said that when they make demands on us and the demons are taking over ISKCON, but this is old 80s paranoia. And it comes from, not from Swedes, but from others who don't understand Sweden and who don't trust the Swedish authorities and who don't want to work. Harmoniously with the Swedish system, which is something that has contributed to making ISKCON appear like a cult and even behave like a cult in Sweden, living in its own little world. Which is also not healthy for devotees because bubbles develop, but that's another thing. So yeah, and then this ISKCON Sweden is part of the GBC, a branch there on the GBC, the branch of ISKCON, connected to the rest of ISKCON through the GBC. And what the Swedish National Council do, what, well, it can continue doing. It used to be, when I sat in it for 7 years or so, an advisory board, so to speak, for the GBC representative, who was really the emperor of the entire ISKCON here. That's the way it was in those days. how it works now. Well, if it works as a function, useful, then fine. Otherwise, well, maybe even the board of ISKCON Sweden can replace that, and it would look cleaner and be more functional. Because what happens then is that ISKCON Sweden is a completely proper Swedish organization. Could be through some fund, which I think it has to be. Which means it's, you don't need to get the leadership elected by each members with a vote each, which makes it a little risky. But you can easily arrange it so that it's a spiritual leadership that is based on qualification and that comes, you know, anchored up, so to speak, in the rest of ISKCON. Something like that should be easy to do. And then each local ISKCON member could then also, and I would say, agree with Lord Chamber that they would best be non-profits, ordinary förening, ideal förening, because I don't know what his reasons for it are, but my reasons, my argument here is that this would lead to and develop confidence, accountability, credibility. That's what Swedish nonprofits are. I mean, they're set up to that, for that purpose, interest group, for people with a shared interest to cooperate. And when you can trust that organization, that club or förening, whatever, nonprofit, and you see it's properly managed, the economy is properly accounted for and so on and so forth, then, and it's doing a good job, then you want to contribute, you want to donate for this purpose, that purpose. So then these local ISKCONs can be like that, open Swedish, properly functioning, reliable, trustworthy. And I would say sattvic, dharmic, because they work. It's proven to work here in Sweden. And you will get all the blessings and support of the Swedish government, who will not come to taking you over. Demons coming banging on your door. Well, they'd rather come banging on your door when you break the laws and do things in shady ways. And I think we should have learned that by now. Even those who come from other countries should be enough integrated by now. So it's time to do it the way we Swedish devotees want to do it. After all, ISKCON Sweden is founded by Swedish disciples of Srila Prabhupada, who got the blessings from him to do it. And we who came there, we agree with them that this is the way it should have been done. And they tried to do it that way, but then others came from other countries, didn't understand the Swedish ways, and they did it the American way or German way or this way, that way, Norwegian way. Yes, I mean, we have to be frank and realistic here now. We tried our best, you know, but some things work, some things don't, and we need to get to work. It's not about putting up some shiny facade. Yes, we are just wonderful and great here. But to look behind the facade and fix it there. So yeah. And then, continue our little sketch here. These properties owned by these non-profits, the reason why we made them throughout so many years fake non-profits, there were fake board meeting protocols, fake signatures and all of that throughout the years, was that if we did it completely according to the laws or the rules for non-profit groups, then they could be taken over by the members, who, you know, I could gather a few friends and become members, get the majority, get the board out, and then I own a big, very expensive property, valuable property, so it's risky. So therefore we faked board meetings where always the same board members were in charge, until we kind of forgot about it and it just became, you know, the voters are not even aware of that this whole organizational structure of ISKCON Sweden is just fake, which actually means legally that the founders can go there, send lawyers who come knocking on your door saying that, sorry, but there's a new board here now, the original founders. So, yeah. So in order to actually solve this problem, we had a kind of workaround back then, a temporary preliminary solution, that's what this was, but it doesn't work in the long run, and now we can see the weaknesses of it. I hope everyone can see that. So to secure the properties so that no one can just take it and sell it, Prabhupada wanted not properties to be sold. ISKCON properties should not be sold. The temple should stay there. And the spirit that we are talking from here is that instruction of Prabhupada. So yes, I dare say there's some weight behind what we are saying here. So please take it seriously because it's important. So then Srila Prabhupada, for instance, he made the BBT into a trust, not a non-profit. Which means that he said, yes, here is this board now, here are the bylaws, the constitution, here's the constitution for this trust, and I now entrust the responsibility of here to you of managing the properties, namely the rights to my literature, to my books. And it was a very intelligent thing to do. And you know, even there was this conflict or threat there coming from the Prabhupada's family, who tried to claim in court the rights to Prabhupada's books, which would have meant they would have made so much money, because Prabhupada books are selling quite well. So you know, there are these realities here, and I was in the meeting where they were actually making this BBT International, all the lawyer disciples of Prabhupada, the top leaders were there in Alnvik. I was working in the reception, talking to them, not many of them. So we were there, and because they can see, you know, ISKCON is big. Out there in the international scene, it's a different scene. It's it's tough, it's big, you know, it's the world, it's reality. You need lawyers, you need devotees are lawyers and they know what they're doing. So here up in the north, sometimes we are a bit naive. But others are not always naive. There are some pretty clever Indians, some pretty clever Russians, some pretty clever Americans, some pretty clever, well, Swedish business people. So we can't be naive. We have to secure these properties. And that's why Prabhupada secured the BBT, his intellectual property, in a trust. And the founders of ISKCON in Sweden, Raghavan and Ajit Prabhu and their wives, they wanted also to put Radha Kund in a trust, they told us. Somehow or other it wasn't done. Maybe because of leaders coming from other countries not seeing the importance or whatever. I think it was more of a, well, I should have done it, but we just, you know, we do it some other day. Yeah, it's a good idea. But now we would say that we have a case here with it where it is really needed. And this discussion should come up again. Because what happens then is you have a trust. Our proposed name is Seva, Stiftelsen Seva, which then indicates it's there to serve the devotees and to serve Krishna's movement here, Prabhupada's movement, serve ISKCON. But mainly serving, as much as I see it, the devotees and their work in order, you know, in the service of Krishna. So Seva is a good name. Again, ISKCON should serve the devotees in their work for serving Krishna, right? Well, any case, whatever you prefer there, this is how we look at it here. So then the Seva Foundation, or trust, it owns all these properties that otherwise, you know, it secures them. No one can do anything, has any right to do anything, to sell or change or anything, these properties, except that foundation. And the board in that foundation has a very clearly defined duty. We have spoken about this before too. Simply carry out that work. Like in the BBT, those sitting in the board of the BBT are simply there working to protect Prabhupada's books and make sure that they get produced and distributed, if possible, at least produced and so on. That no one takes it over and all of a sudden claims the rights to them or something like that. In the same way, these properties, no one should be able to take care of them. There should be no invitation or temptation for financial gain, which is otherwise, you know, this Kali Yuga, gold. Kali is in gold. So it's especially important today. And again, we shouldn't be naive thinking that everyone is just who comes to this Krishna conscious movement is pure devotee, unselfish, unmotivated, or anything else than to serve Krishna and preach Sankirtan. So here we have this problem. They are taken care of by this foundation. And is there anyone in charge of the foundation, anyone on top of it? No, that's the thing. It stands on its own. So these buildings, they own themselves and take care of themselves and finance themselves. And if they make a profit, then that profit should go either to expand more buildings or for serving good ISKCON projects. That can all be written into the Constitution, and that's the idea of it. It's defined by the Constitution, and how, if it does a good job or not, it's all depending on how well the Constitution is written. So that's where we should put a focus, and we already have drafts for that. So anyway, in a way, I'm really just also telling here what is really going on, because these discussions are going on now in the SNC, Swedish National Council, and among the senior devotees here in Sweden. And I think it's I'm happy that finally, we've been trying for decades to get this to happen. And I just pray, and I think others with me, that finally, and again, praying to devotees, especially those of us who were born in the ISKCON movement in Sweden, who were part of building it up and work together doing that, you know. Once you get older, well, you get a bit moved by just thinking about it, what we went through. So, I mean, this is like a call for your support, and if you pray to Krishna, then this will happen. And I would say, I'm sure about it myself, that this will be very beneficial for all the ISKCON, local ISKCONs in Sweden. We will get financial benefits from the ISKCON Sweden. Just like all other religions have, the Buddhists have it like that. If they can, then we can. And now we have, again, for some mystical reason, invited and attracted support from Indians who start seeing the ISKCON temples as places to go on Sundays and so on. And just like we did in Gothenburg, and Pranava Prabhu, he was and is, may he be with us for a long time, I can prove he is so good at, I put him in charge of the congregation when I was temple president in Gothenburg, and realized that this position was the most important, because the congregation did so much. So by donations from the congregation, especially from the Indian community, we built a beautiful temple room. And I'm so sorry it's not there anymore. But the names engraved in those plackets that we put there next to the Prabhupada's Vyasasana, next to the altar and on the wall of the temple room, with the names of the donors, those who work to serve to make this beautiful temple, well, they should be, they are here in the, Akash records forever. So those of you who know who you are, forever gratitude from us. Maybe one day we can get our temple back, I don't know. Okay. Anyway, Hare Krishna.